carcinogen is a word you might hear in the media, but it basically means something that causes cancer, and usually refers to things such as chemicals in our environment or food, or even things like UV radiation from the sun and sunbeds, or ionising radiation such as X-rays. To find out more about these damaging agents and how researchers are figuring out exactly how they cause cancer, I spoke to one of the UK's leading experts, David Phillips, Professor of Environmental Carcinogenesis at King's College London.
We know that most cancers have an environmental component to them, that something in the environment is causative or a causative factor in the disease. And this evidence for this goes back to the 18th century, when a London physician noticed that chimney sweeps frequently got cancer of the scrotum, and he attributed this to their exposure to soot. And in the intervening several hundred years, we've come a long way into understanding why, because soot contains chemicals that are carcinogenic, and these have been identified. And in the meantime, we've identified a lot of other environmental carcinogens, i.e. chemicals to which we're exposed environmentally, which at least have the potential to cause cancer.
There's a big book on your desk and it looks like a huge thing full of listing all sorts of chemicals. Is it possible to put a number on them, or can we broadly group carcinogens into different types?
Well, we can do both. There's probably several hundred chemicals which are known to be carcinogenic, and these can be broadly categorised into various types. For example, tobacco smoke is a very complex mixture of chemicals, but at least 60 of those present are carcinogenic. Air pollution contains some of the same carcinogens. Ionising radiation, non-ionising radiation, ultraviolet.
So sunlight, basically.
So yes, sunlight is a cause of skin cancer. Some products that are naturally present in plants, some that are produced by fungi, and many others.
If, say, you were to look at the kind of damage caused by, say, tobacco smoke and ultraviolet radiation from the sun, would it look the same, or can you distinguish it?
Well, there are signatures, because when the DNA is damaged, that can lead to errors of replication when the cell divides and replicates its DNA. And that will lead to changes in the sequence of the DNA, which we call a mutation. And if a mutation occurs in a critical gene, this can initiate the carcinogenic process. Cells have defense mechanisms against DNA damage, DNA repair mechanisms, but sometimes these are bypassed or overwhelmed, and a mutation can result. So, for example, when we now have the ability to sequence the DNA of tumours, and it's been found over the last 15 to 20 years that tumours are full of mutations, and the challenge now is to try and identify what those mutations have been caused by. And now, with the advent of whole genome sequencing at a practicable level, it's now possible to sequence the entire genome of an organism, whether it's a tumour or a test cell in the lab, and look at the mutations that have occurred across the whole genome. And this may give us a more complete picture and a more diagnostic picture of the patterns of mutation caused by particular agents. And in the last year or so, work at the Sanger Institute in Cambridge has identified, by sequencing, they've sequenced more around 7,000 different human tumours. And they've come up with a broad categorisation that there are 21 particular types of mutation pattern that they've identified. And, of course, in many of these cases, we don't know what's caused them. But we hope now that if we can experimentally reproduce these patterns by taking some of the chemical carcinogens that we know or suspect of being carcinogenic and seeing what type of patterns they produce across the whole genome in a test system, we may be able to identify the actual causative agent in more cases of human cancer.
So you kind of take human cells, you take the chemical, you chuck it on it, then you look in the DNA and say, oh, that's signature number 13, that's what must be linked to that exposure.
Well, essentially, that it boils down to an experiment that's as simple as that, but obviously it'll
harder,
turn out to be
yeah.
a lot more complex, I'm sure. But in principle, yes, that's what we're hoping to do, yes.
It seems like an incredibly powerful approach, because often you sort of hear people say, well, this type of cancer, we just don't know what caused it. Or maybe it was this, maybe it was my job, maybe it was something I ate. Do you think we will be able to narrow down to an individual person's cancer what might have caused it?
That's the hope, yes. There's already a proof of principle here, because there is a it's now known that many cases of urothelial cancer worldwide can be attributed to ingestion of a plant carcinogen called aristolochic acid. This is present in plants that are accidentally ingested, for example, in the Balkans, but it's also a compound that's been widely used in Chinese traditional medicine. So large numbers of people have been exposed to this. And this produces a particular mutagenic mutation signature in urothelial cancers, which, because we know a fair bit about the actual biochemical properties of aristolochic acid itself in experimental system, we can definitively say that in some cases that this pattern is what is seen in the human cancers. In some cases, it may turn out that the pattern does not match that of the agent, in which case one can say that particular cancer, even though we suspect it might be due to the exposure, we can actually rule out that exposure. So it can work both ways. We may be able to identify what's caused somebody's cancer, but also in other cases where we suspect something might have caused it, actually say, no, it didn't.
That also opens up some cans of worms. You can imagine if someone finds out their cancer has a signature of this chemical, maybe they could sue the person that exposed them to it or made it or put it in the environment. Do you think there are implications for those kind of public health issues?
Yes, I'm sure there are, because one of the problems you have with identifying a cause of somebody's cancer, if it's down to something environmental or occupational, is that it's many decades from potential exposure to disease, and actually tracking back and saying whether this was in fact the cause of the cancer, it can be extremely difficult. So this may actually be quite helpful in actually pinning down whether an occupational or environmental exposure has been the cause or not, yes.
And working in a field like this, where you're sort of talking all the time about carcinogens and nasty chemicals, does it make you paranoid at all?
Wouldn't say paranoid, but I'm as concerned to live in as clean an environment as I can as the next person. So from that point of view, I'd like to think that I try to avoid where it's a matter of personal choice, exposure to carcinogens. But of course, in many cases, it isn't. So I live and work in London. London is a mega city. Mega cities have air pollution. So I'm concerned about the level of air pollution in cities, certainly. And I would wholeheartedly support efforts to reduce the level of air pollution in cities, for example. And that can really only come from governments and local councils implementing policies that will reduce the level of air pollution, for example, in urban environments. But these things are at least possible, if not easy.
That was Professor David Phillips from King's College London.